and I don't mind at all. I'm a thriller like MJ and my flow is off the wall.
Who they? Who they? They're not from around. It's gotta be my imagination.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
They're not from around here.
I think it's in their face.
Who they? Who they?
They're not from around.
It's gotta be my imagination.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
Man, they not from around here.
I think it's in their face.
Greetings, earthlings. I am Wallo. I am Wallo. I am Wallo. I live life like there's no tomorrow. Chris King, KG, N-O-O-B. What homes you ain't know? We're UFO. Cargo khakis, polos, and fresh kicks. That's the definition of what the cargo kids is. S-O-S, yes, spaced out swagger. I never do anything right, I'm backwards. I'm so galactic, so erratic. You niggas want my old swag, you can have it. The world is mine and your girl is too. So do us a favor, make room for the crew. Wow.
Who they? Who they?
They're not from around.
It's gotta be my imagination.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
They not from around here.
I think it's in their face.
Who they? Who they?
They're not from around.
It's gotta be my imagination.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
Man, they not from around here.
I think it's in their face.
Overall, I think we're about 80% like prepared. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have any kind of preparations or it doesn't even cross my mind that could happen.
Really, I don't have an excuse. I'm not going to offer one. You know, there's no reason why I haven't. There's no reason why I shouldn't.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Royce Massengill.
And I'm Jamie Moorhead.
Jamie Moorhead. And, well, actually, we are both entrepreneurs. So.
My name is Justin. I have a family, two kids, fiance. Do everything from photography, videography, graphic design, software engineering. I'd consider us middle class.
Name? It's pronounced, I just say Ohalu, Ohalu Pillow. For a living, I'm a senior claims analyst.
I think we're about, I mean, from what I have right now.
We were just talking about this last night. Like, are we ready? Are we even ready?
Right, but I would say, like.
You're now rocking with DJ.
Who they? Who they?
They're not from around.
It's gotta be my imagination.
I think it's in their face.
UFO.
I think it's in their face.
I think it's in their face.
DJ Skinny.
They not from around.
Let's go.
Who they? Who they? Who they? Who they?
Respect the DJ.
Who they?
And we live, baby.
Welcome to the Mothership, bitches. It's the Who That Podcast, livest podcast this side of Mississippi and the Nile River. How you doing? You made it another week, as always. This is the first mate of the ship. This is B. We got the Captain Paco.
How you doing?
Cigarette already in his mouth.
Yeah. Lee, if you could, go ahead and crank that computer audio. It's an audio level that says computer. Turn it all the way up for our guests. All right, awesome. Go ahead and tell them who we're going to be with this week.
Well, we are continuing our series on the culture, like talking about the culture, and we already had the first episode, so we had to get someone who has a very good mind, you know what I mean, who is also got her own show, her own things going on, so we had to bring a guest of the Mothership back so we can get the female reflection on the culture. So we have Miss Jamie Moorhead back with us on the podcast.
Yeah, hit them horns, baby.
Hey.
I'm just a passenger, right? I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm good.
Thank you for coming back and visiting us. You weren't able to the come, you know, physically back to the podcast because you got things going on with Juneteenth. If y'all don't know, Juneteenth that we're talking about in Tullahoma, if you missed the episode and you only been seeing us shout it out, this is who we're talking about. She is one of the main organizers for Juneteenth going on the 19th in Tullahoma. And we'll talk about that later on in the episode, too.
18th. But
on the 18th. On the 18th.
Yes, absolutely.
On the 18th. But we'll talk about that later on. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been like a long day. You know what I'm saying? I've been hopping on different people's podcasts. So, you know, I've been canceled a few times, a little bit.
Canceled
already?
How did that happen?
What happened?
I said that black women's bitterness killed Kevin Samuels.
All right, and I would imagine the reception to that was controversial.
Right. Absolutely. So what led up to that?
Thank you.
I need some backstory on that. Man. Okay, for sure.
I mean, just, you know how women, we get mad, we talk, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think people really understand the power of words. You just a lot of negative energy going towards the man. And like now that he's missed, you know, he's gone, you know, going on different podcasts and talking to men about like the very same situations, I feel like Kevin needed to stay. You know what I'm saying? I hate that. I hate to have to say that, but I'd rather him tell me the truth than lie.
A lot of people with Kevin Samuels, they see all the negative, but they don't see the bigger picture of self-worth.
Right.
That was the real message, self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the truth.
And that self-evaluation.
Is true. Right. Yeah, and then I went on podcast. They had no accountability on that podcast at all. Like, none.
So were you the only voice on your side?
Am I the only what?
Were you the only voice on your side? You were the only
most definitely, yeah.
Wow. See, but that's what we have to talk about with the culture. Like last week, we talked about family when it related to the culture. You know what I mean? And how family has been affected, or in the positives and the negatives, by the culture, by the traditions that we uphold, by the things that we put on pedestals and all that, and like the influences. But as a woman, seeing a Kevin Samuels who was a contrary type of voice in the culture or to the values, I guess we have now, you know what I mean? He was kind of contrary to a lot of that. And you bringing it up and saying that he should have stayed and being met as the outsider, I think that says a lot. Like,
it does say a lot.
How do you think we got to this point? How do you think we got to a point to where how you feel you're more alone than having people agree with you that a guy should still be alive?
I just think because we don't want to face the truth, right? Like the truth is the hardest thing for anybody to face.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, we like living a lie. We like the illusion. You know what I'm saying? It feels better. So when Kevin was there, you know, we focused in on just the negative things that he said. But when he spoke the truth, he was telling that. Mm-hmm. And seeing the truth, you have to change. And really, you know, people want to change to a certain extent. right?
Right,
right.
I'm saying not fully. I want to keep some of this, but if I do this externally, everybody's going to think I'm great. You know what I'm saying? Change enough to look great, but not really truly change.
They want to stay with a little bit in their comfort zone.
Yeah, that comfort zone is
Change is uncomfortable.
Yeah, but like people will make themselves a little bit uncomfortable so they can tell themselves, all right, I pushed myself. I did something. Mm-hmm. And but they won't actually go as far as what's needed.
Right.
So on the just the female side of things, when do you think that changed? Do you think it was like Lil Kim or do you think it was like, when do you think that was? Like, what do you like?
when did females start doing it? I think that we started shifting our mindset like way before. I think getting jobs and becoming competitive probably set the standard for us to be competitive in our homes. I do feel, and this is going to be so crazy that I'm about to say this because I'm a believer, but I do feel like the Black church had a lot to do with the separation of a woman to being accountable to her man as being the head. They started making the woman more accountable to the pastor rather than the pastor saying, hey, you know, be accountable to your man. Mm-hmm. And then he will respect me more and he'll come. So men, if you look at it, a lot of Black men don't go to church buildings.
No, it's true. They don't.
Right, you'll see that women are in there more and then they're idolizing this one person.
Yeah.
And that's not ideal because really your husband is your leader.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And spiritual head. So, you know, I do feel like the Black church was utilized a lot for that, especially when the 501(c)s came through and they became a nonprofit. I want to make sure I say nonprofit because you're no longer being a prophet of God. You're being a prophet of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So do you feel? So you feel like that was mechanized on purpose? Like it was actually used. And you don't think that was just like one of those society things of a guy in one spot week after week being the main speaker and women just, you know, after a while adoring him and the husband being just the guy that goes to work and he just, you know, he's there and she sees him.
The provider.
Yeah, she smells his socks, you know what I mean? So she loses the attraction towards him, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel that it was orchestrated in per se because, like, I don't know if you ever heard of, like, a pastor, his name is Miles Monroe. I think he was out of Africa, but he made the women accountable to their husband. And so, to me, it was the pastor's job to say, hey, stop coming here, you know what I'm saying, and putting me first. Mm-hmm. But because we like that attention and because a lot of damaged people say they were called to be pastors, they seek that attention. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so spiritually, it is orchestrated. You know what I'm saying? For the woman to idolize a man that she thinks is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And if her husband isn't fully spiritual, she's going to look up to the other man rather than her. Because women like knowledge, right? We like to be wise, but we don't like to use that wisdom a lot of times.
So let me ask you, do you not feel like the welfare system set that up to work also, or you ever use it?
Yeah, I would say that definitely. We had a lot of things in place, but you know, if you think about it, when we were slaves, the church was initially the first utilization of manipulation.
Right.
Right. Mm. So remember that book, that movie, The Book of Eli?
Yeah.
And there was that part where the white guy was like, I need that Bible because the words in that Bible would get people to do whatever I want them to.
Right. Absolutely.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
No. So, all right. Going from when it was utilized through church and how that sort of trickled down into the family structure, where do you think? Because I still feel like there was still much more unity in the 60s than we have now. You know what I mean? And right. All of that. So where do you think it really, I don't want to say break, because we're talking about Black love. I don't want to say break, but the real gap began to like emerge or whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
We'll say, I would say some part of integration had to do with it, right? I'll say, of course, welfare. You know, we can give you money, but he can't be there. Mm-hmm. We'll say mass incarceration, right? Right. The drug epidemic coming through. There's several things that were set up for us to fail, right? And then anytime we did unify, somebody ends up dead. And so, like I was telling my son the other night, I said, if you see somebody get shot for doing something, automatically our defense mechanism is like, oh yeah, I ain't doing that. You feel me? Because
right.
I got a lot to live for. So we just automatically just, you know, we default. So let me just save me.
Well, it's kind of weird because with the internet, we're exposed to all different sides. So when I'm looking at like culturally, I mm-hmm. see
I forgot one, the women's movement. I'm sorry, I forgot the women's movement.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna bring it up yet, but yeah,
that's really the main one right there.
That's what I was thinking. It was a real.
Because white women were being oppressed. We weren't, really.
No, it was a big recruitment effort, and that term civil rights is a big umbrella term, ain't it? And you can get us to, hey, well, we need you over here.
Right.
The women's movement, I feel like, I'm glad you said it first, the really, really divided households, unspoken. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like the drug epidemic, we speak about the prison industrial complex. We speak about, right. You know what I mean? Like, but the women's movement and how that divided where our focus was forward moving mm-hmm. as a family and then as a community. You know what I mean? Like in real life, not just. Oh, the movement over time across the nation of colored people felt attitude shifted. No, and just in real life, I feel like when you have not just the mom, but you have the sisters and everything, mm-hmm. and they want to go this way with the forward progress is, and then you have the rest of people want to go this way, and like it's that really. That threw it off because we don't have enough numbers to spread,
right? even with the internet, like I was watching Royce on a podcast yesterday, and I was getting at the point that we used to move as a unit, as a black culture, but now we have so many subcultures thanks D. Wade.
I seen your comment and I was like, ooh.
But you know, it's true. We can't move as a unit anymore because now the division amongst the black community and culture is so wide.
Right. I think that's what's frustrating, you know, too, is the amount of organizations we have. Why do we got so many organizations? Like, an organization for this, an organization for this. We just need one common goal and move with it.
Right, right.
But we don't want to do that either. It's weird to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really sad because we fight ourselves.
Right.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up when it comes to the internet and being able to see just such a span of our culture. Because I love all of it. I like the weird balance that we have. But the reaction, mm-hmm. like when you see someone who gets killed for doing nothing or doing a certain thing, there's a reaction from the woman's side in two different ways. There's the ones that, you know, are at the protest and doing the fight with us and signs and the organizers and the like you, the proponents of change and pushing it, and you know what I'm saying? And then you have this other shift, and I don't even want to say that it's young girls because it's not.
It's not. There's
but it's this whole other group of attitude of just like, fuck it, get yours, that aren't informed, that are not inquisitive, like just behavior attitude-wise, not like on a level of smart or dumb, you know what I mean? But just as a being informed or being proactive or being, you know what I'm saying, like just aware type thing. It's just
it's almost like it's not affecting me, so it's not my problem.
Yeah, and I can really see these two sides of like black womanhood in the culture, you know what I mean? And it's and I've never actually because we didn't have the internet, so now you can see that. How do we get to these extremes, you know what I mean? Of people, like of
It's always been there. So I'm going to be real with you. Like, at one point in my life, I was that person that was like, it's not my problem. And, like, it took a lot of things happening. Not even that. It took me having my son for that perspective to change for me. So until I got my, like, had got pregnant and then found out it was a boy, life was a little bit, my thought process was different. So it's, I mean, like that shift in waking up is different for everybody. And so I don't know what's going to take to wake up those women. I think we enable them to feel that level of entitlement of like, it is not my problem. But then we have so much corruption too, that it's kind of like, well, I'm glad I didn't become a part of that movement because look what they did. You see what I'm saying?
Good so, point. Good point. That's a good
we
point.
We kind of sabotage ourselves in a way.
Yeah. That's a good point. Now, what do you think percentage wise? Because what I'm talking about is not like the how Kevin Samuels put it of like, you know, high value women.
Right.
I'm talking about the just, you know, my beloved ratchets. You know what I'm saying?
My beloved ratchet
over here.
My ratchets tis of thee.
Yeah, tis of thee. But yeah, but you know,
sweet love and company.
You know what I mean?
Sucking on that DIC.
You know what I mean? Over here,
my
then,
beloved ratchets.
Like the sisters, the queens, the woke people. The, you know what I mean? Like that. What do you think the ratio is? What do you think percentage wise is?
Gosh, you know, that is a good question. And I'm going to have to say there probably are more ratchets. Because being like separated and not thinking like the masses is hard. Because there's points where a queen don't want to be a queen. You know what I'm saying? Because it looks easier to be a ratchet.
It's probably funner. Like, I look at like people I know.
For sure.
That you know.
I bet $1,000 is more fun. They look like
they let go of their responsibilities.
Have you seen that video for the I'm free fuck nigga?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a ball. There's a pregnant lady in there hanging out a window. They're having a ball.
Okay, getting paid. Okay, hitting several licks. Okay,
hitting several licks.
That's true though. That's true. So I don't know. Let me ask you this though, since we're here talking about the culture, like, what do you think some of the biggest impacts the culture has made, and for females and you know them as the subject, not just the culture, but specifically females in home life and family life. Like, what do you feel like the biggest hit?
The biggest what? Say that again.
The biggest hit, like the biggest blow that really made an impact in a negative way.
Or even if it's not just one. If you've got a couple,
go ahead.
Yeah, I would say like the biggest dynamic that is like modernly that has shifted is women having more education than men at this point, being hired at a higher rate than black men.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many grants and opportunities for businesses, for our businesses to succeed. That brings a drift too, because if we go with the alignment, right, a woman is technically a helpmeet. Now, if you read the Proverbs woman, she has her own businesses too, but, you know, her goal or her main reason for being created is to help her husband. But the way our society is being set up is that our husband's not able to do anything for us to help him with.
But I mean, that's even a smaller percentage of people of women that's gonna know that Proverbs line and go by. You know what I mean? That's
right. Like, you'll see that she has several businesses. It will say that, you know, he's gonna be great based upon the amount of work that she does. But it's one thing, we don't know how to be humble either in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't. We have our moments where we're like, wait a minute, you gonna give me my credit? Because I do. I know I do. I'm gonna just tell the truth. But if we read it and apply it, it looks different. But again, our black men don't have the same access to things that we do. And that was done on purpose too. Because we know that ego plays a fact and pride plays a fact, right? We know that it's in man's nature to provide, protect, and profess. But he can't provide, you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't give him the will to want to protect nobody, because you got everything, protect yourself.
Yeah.
What you need me for?
And that attitude is a very big attitude in our relationship, even our standards. Like, what's accepted now, like, because the bar is so low, because that so attitude low. is very, it permeates that. You got that. You got you. You said you got you. No, let me see you do you then. All that. Yeah. No, you bad, right? Yeah.
I think we just stop having true. Compassion for each other in our community. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just be like, do you. You know what I'm saying? I just did an interview yesterday with a company that has been in business for 75 years, y'all. That's 3 generations.
Right.
That's crazy to me. And that shouldn't be a surprise to me, because that's what we should have been doing. It's been a lot.
75 years is strong.
It's a lot.
Yes.
And so I'm saying that I'm pretty sure they've been approached to sell. You know what I'm saying? They've been, there's been seasons where they didn't make no money, but they chose to hold on to that land, to that business, to that name. And we don't take pride in those things no more for some reason. Like, for some reason, it is not we don't want to.
So what do you think one of the biggest, like the pushes for this change? I'm trying to pinpoint a moment that you feel like really, I guess, empowered and pushed the family standard to where it was led by more women. Are we just talking about the divide? The divide itself is what pushed that, or?
I would say mass incarceration, because we ended up having to do it ourselves, right? Yeah. And once the dynamic changes in a home where the woman is the man too, it is hard for her to become out of that role. And then I'm just gonna tell the truth. I just don't feel like, no offense to y'all or anything like that, like, men were given an ideal of what their role was. There was like a stop somewhere where men stopped learning their role.
Mass incarceration.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of distractions too, you know? Like, there's a lot of things we deal with in society that nobody else has to deal with, you know what I'm saying? The level of attacks we take inside. If we even voice concerns at work or anything else, then we're the mad black guy, and we're all, you know, I mean, you can't even voice your own concerns for things without being stereotyped instantly.
Yeah.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I'm just thinking, like, distraction wise, even if your dad didn't teach you, you would have like an uncle, or you have like an older cousin or something, but now, your uncle might be on drugs and this nigga might be locked up. So your dad has to be the one that does it. But if he's not around because your mom's on Section 8, so he can't be there like that, then da-da-da. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just what hope do you got?
It's a odd balance that you find yourself in. Right.
And I'm going to tell you one thing that we never thought about. We've started pushing our people to do sports, right? We think that was a really great ideal. Mm-hmm. But because it gets the money and we get out of the hood, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like that was a distraction too, because rather than focusing on building their character and teaching them how to be men, we just taught them how to play games.
Right.
Well, with the sports, I feel like they got caught up, because it's great when they're younger for discipline and character building and, you know, that type of stuff, to teamwork and your effort and somebody else's effort is good then. But when you really focus in on that's all you are now,
right,
is where I feel like it got lost.
And
being, feel like it's a different form of tap dancing.
I mean, now it is. It's turned into that because it's such a big market thing. But back in the day, Will Chamberlain was smart, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a very knowledgeable, very smart man. Yeah. So I feel like it's gotten to the point to where it is such a big money thing to where it's like you're just training up like puppies.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
before you
about to go.
I mean, what do y'all think? What do you think the problem was? Because it's good to hear from a man's perspective too. Like, what do you think caused the problem? I know you see.
Well, I feel like today there is like a small thin gray line between, like, for a female being liberating and independent versus just being all out, you know, now you're just ratchet, and you know what I mean? Like, there's a very gray line between celebrating success and then, like, just out here just doing the most.
Right.
You know, like, you know, we see a lot of like empowering movements for women that is really toxic for the family and community.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I would have to agree with you on that.
Like the slide of the music, you know, we're teaching, you know, the in my opinion, okay, we're teaching the women of color, they hit a point in their progress where a lot of them are entrepreneurs, they're successful and everything like that. But then we've got this message that's being portrayed over here, and it's like, okay, when you hit that point, this is how you celebrate. Mm-hmm. But then they get bammed up in the celebration and get labeled and everything else. So that in its own is a trap. Mm-hmm. There's no way to like really like celebrate the success proper. We don't have the right people teaching people how to celebrate their success and what to do with their money.
Mm. Right, know? That's true.
You feel me?
Yeah, I do agree with you on that.
So it's all a developing process, but who's leading that process? Who is the person we want to lead that? Because everybody's got this whole like in-game folly. And black celebrities, they always have like the in-game folly. Like the Will Smith, the in-game folly is a slap. Mm-hmm. You know? Oprah and them, we got the whole like Trump and Epstein connections to that. You know what I mean? Right. Bill Cosby, he's in jail. Mm-hmm. So who is the example to lead that example? Who is, you know, you about to say God?
I mean, it has to be God.
That was much better than I was going to say. Okay. That was much better than I was going to say. I'm so glad that you know me to where that was the option you went to. But I was going to say Farrakhan. Just because that's a person that we can look at. But yeah, God.
Yeah, right.
But see, Farrakhan still has his vices. You know what I'm saying? And so what we need, and this is truth, are leaders without vices. People that have mastered self-discipline. Because it's going to take discipline for you not to fall for the honey traps.
Yeah, I feel that on the honey traps, for real.
I mean, they come in all kinds of ways. You know what I'm saying? And we have so many vices as a community, as a whole, that somebody falls for it.
So it's got to be God.
So it's got to be God. You got to have, you know, we got to like trust him and then trust the individual that we put in that position. But we got to vet people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody vets people, but we don't. We just be like, oh, I know him from around the way. He cool.
No. I feel like, why?
When you want a leader, you're going to have to vet that leader.
But why we need a leader, though? Haven't we tried that before?
Then we can have a whole man's movement, but who's going to be, are we all going to go ahead and say, look, we're going to discipline ourselves? Because there's one thing that I can say about people's movements. There's different movements. They're disciplined within that movement. For some reason, we aren't.
See, I don't know, like, movement, all right, if we're talking change, then I feel like the tactics that we're trying are tactics that have been tried, and we're forgetting where we're at. We have the CIA and the FBI against us. There's people like J. Edgar Hoover that spent their life studying our shit to make sure that what we do is within a contained resistance. Right. You know what I mean? So if we're going to do something, then we really need to, like, really switch it up. And by switching it up, do the path of least resistance.
Like, just, well, that's just your home, then. The least resistance it.
Exactly.
Is
just
decide home.
You're going to do good shit. Just decide that I am doing good shit to my neighbor, with my friends. I'm just going to do good shit. I'm going to do righteous things.
And but here's the thing.
We ain't got to have a meeting about it.
Right.
We ain't got to get together at a local SWAT meet and talk. We ain't got to pull up cars. We ain't
Here's the crazy part.
Do pancakes. We can just all be good to each other because in these days, and we seeing what they doing to us alone.
Right.
And we all just be righteous to one another. Let's just
Here's the thing. The very book that they use to help divide us or create that division is the very book that gives the same answer, right? It tells you to start at home. It also gives you the Ten Commandments on how to treat yourself and people, right? If we apply those things, that's what happens. Change happens, right? You know what I'm saying? I think in this hour, God is trying to put man back to their first love, which was him, right? And then once you remind yourself of who your creator was and what you were created for, then everything follows. A man's job was to speak life into his kid
when they were born. That's by naming that child, by having, pulling that child up and handing him back over to God. That was your job. That don't happen no more. A man, look, men are so important. It doesn't make any sense that we don't know that. Because as soon as you came out of your proper role, all hell has literally broken loose. You are the order operation. This is a patriarchy, not a matriarch.
The order operation?
What did I say? The order of operation?
Order of operations. The order of operations.
Wow. You are. It starts there.
Turn.
Triple O.
The triple O.
Triple O. Representing for the triple O. So, with this recent push, what do you feel like this recent push about toxic agendas in the female culture, like you know, your Meg Thee Stallions, your Jada Pinkett Smiths.
I want to talk about the Meg and Tory situation. Do you know about it? I was hoping.
Yeah. Okay. Get some more. So I looked it up a little bit. So I remember when Meg, you know, came on there and was like, "I got shot in the foot, y'all." And then I remember seeing her on the BET Awards dropping it like it was hot, and I was confused because you just got shot in the foot and.
was this soon after?
It was like, you know what I'm saying? Like you can't walk. Come on now, you hit your toe, your pinky toe on the side of something, you be limping, right?
For real,
right?
You get shot.
Be crying. You don't know if you broke it or not because you can't tell. You just can't walk. You know that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You get shot in the foot.
In the foot. And then you can do, you can dance.
And you can twerk.
Wow. That's the stallion part, huh?
That's the stallion
part. That's the stallion. So what do you think the whole purpose, like they weren't going to figure out that he didn't shoot her. Like, what do you think the agenda behind that was, Jeremy?
Well, Tory's independent. If I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he just was talking about that.
Right.
I don't know. So when you, have you noticed? But it was like during the pandemic.
Have you noticed that every independent artist ends up getting some type of like defamation of character in a way? Yeah. And here's what I think really happens. I feel like they are approached with a contract and they say no.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they forget about the vices and the honey traps.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And something is sent. And she just happened to be sent.
Mm. Do you think that because she's gotten a Grammy now and since being shot in these last 2 years, Meg Thee Stallion is everywhere. She's Popeyes, she's Netflix, she's everywhere. Yeah.
She sold him out. There was an exchange.
You feel like the
So what do you think this signifies as far as it goes for like black culture when it comes to like throwing a guy under a bus, railroading a black man, and, you know what I mean, and lying. And like we've always, I don't want to say always, we just recently got to the point where we could talk about how white women would lie on black men, you know what I mean?
Right.
And talk about the To Kill a Mockingbird thing and all that. And you know, I don't know if the guests have Googled it lately, but a lot of those women, Bill Cosby, have like, changed their stories. But now this is a black woman. This is a very popular, very influential black woman who was very successful off of the fact that she did, she is a victim,
right,
of a black man who might be going to jail. He's facing jail time and everything.
22 Sadly years? More, 22 years.
Like, is he still 22 facing? Years? Is that what you said?
22 years.
Oh, my God.
So he's still facing that?
Yeah, the trial is still going.
I thought they, okay, all right.
22 right. years.
Yeah.
And so think about it. So you just said that we just got to start talking about white women lying on black men, right?
Right.
How do you divert the attention? And how do you make it, it's not just white women?
Yeah.
Right? You make this a public thing. You remember, order out of chaos. They gonna stop talking about it if we get one of them to do it.
Hmm.
They're going to stop pointing it out if we get one of them to do it.
I forget who pointed that out with that. I heard somebody say that with the Nipsey situation.
Yeah.
They were like, well, they'll just go get somebody to do it to be like, well, look, it's somebody in the hood. It was one of his own.
Yeah, yeah. Black on black crime.
Yeah, type of thing. But man, so what do you think about the defenders of Meg, like with all this that's coming out? There's still people that are just like, no,
yeah.
F you know, Tory, he needs to go to jail. Like
those diehard fans, and then you got trollers too. So it's who's being paid at this trollers point? We don't
changed
know.
The game.
Yeah,
trollers have changed the game. That's another.
It's a profession.
It's gonna be even harder to unite though, because you have people who, as a profession, trolling, but then what trolling is just done to the psyche of people.
Right.
People will just troll because they have some free time in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, there's white men that have accounts as black men and women that literally troll black communities and shit.
You know what I'm saying? And that's
yeah.
And now you have to deal with that. Like, you
right,
know
right.
I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of any black people? You got algorithms too. Accounts trolling?
No,
I've never.
Mm-hmm.
I've never.
And don't forget the algorithms, because you're only gonna see what they want you to see.
That's true.
This
the algorithms.
I'm confused by this Meg Thee Stallion thing, because we talk about, if it's a white woman, how if she lies about rape, she should go to jail. Right now, if he's facing 22 years and this comes out that she's been knowingly lying to the public,
she should go to, I mean, she should go to jail, because that's
think so?
22 years. Yeah, I don't care who it is. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Like, you're not gonna sit up here and lie on this man for some money or for whatever deal you got, throw him in jail for 22 years. That's one less black man again.
That creates jobs.
Yeah,
this dude has a couple businesses. Like,
right,
like
that's crazy. Yeah, that don't make no sense,
it
man.
It might not be in America, but right. He has like stores in Toronto where he employs people and all that. You know right. what I mean? So it's like, I used to follow Tory Lanez years ago when he used to wear wooden necklaces and stuff right. like that. And then like he blew up and started singing. I kind of like lost a little bit, but right. like, with this situation, I'm like, dang, Tory. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you were a shooter, and then to shoot a woman, oh my God, what are you doing? You blew it, kid. You blew it.
Right, and Tory fell for all the vices, right? He was hitting Kylie. Was it Kylie? He was hitting Kylie, he was hitting the best friend, and he was hitting Meg.
Jeez.
Wow.
And he admits to that. He said, I messed up, because I was hitting everybody.
Got himself in a real entanglement. What type of effect you think entanglements had? see, entanglements can go way left, man. You could be facing 22 years based on a lie.
Yeah.
Because you got yourself entangled.
And now what, they say he didn't have any paraffin on his hand, that her friend had the paraffin on her hand.
He
had no signs of being shooting anybody.
And Kevin Samuels, to bring this around real quick, Kevin Samuels was talking to T.I. and said that psychologically, with black women, the power of their friend is more influential and motivational.
In their relationships and how they approach situations. That's why I don't got none friends like that, because they are. You know what I'm saying? That's facts.
Because as a black man, when I hear Kevin Samuels say it, it was like, all right, yeah, I feel like that sometimes too. Because your girl, she got friends or whatever. But hearing a black woman like that's legit. You know what I mean? Because that could, you know, really correlate to this Meg Thee Stallion thing. Like, y'all got mad because he's actually one that's doing both of us dirty and da da da. And my friend shot me, but girl, I got you, so I'm gonna lie. You know what I mean? And that would be crazy.
Yeah.
If to protect your just protect your friend, you do a whole public 2 year run.
Yeah.
Right.
Because originally,
you remember when they got there, she was like, nothing happened, because she was trying to protect him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But then when it really hit her, like, wait a minute, he slept with her and her. You know what I'm saying? Like, then the bitterness came in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she felt some type of way. She felt stupid.
The power of bitterness.
The power of bitterness is unspoken. The power of bitterness is strong.
I be trying to tell men. I was talking to my mom the other day. This is real. I was like, men don't necessarily understand how a woman processes things, right? So, like, say you dated somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? And then y'all stopped talking. You know, I don't know, you ghosted or you just dipped off and went somewhere else, right? Okay? You happy looking and stuff like that. The first thing that pops into a woman's mind is, I know he not over there happy.
I tell people,
he could be in a whole relationship.
The best bounce back for a breakup is to just be on social media and be happy on that bench. Just outliving your best life. You know what I'm saying? Right.
But here's the thing. That bitterness comes in.
Yeah.
And she gets to talking. Right? Yeah. And we forget the power of words. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, y'all start arguing in your relationship. You're like, what's going on?
Can I jump in real quick? I've never been able to like say this, but that is a real thing that I'd be worried about, and I think as being black men, we actually have more knowledge of it, but we also have to deal with it more. But I really be worried about like eating spaghetti, about practicing voodoo, the stuff. Listen, like the witchcraft stuff, like hexes
you put on should you and stuff. Be.
Like I really be worried about that, like especially being in the South too.
Yeah.
Like it's just one of those. It's really unspoken, but you really need your uncles and your daddy around to tell you that type of stuff. But
exactly.
Like I really be nervous about that.
And a lot of times men don't have that no more. And so
it's very, 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 very like.
Yes, but I'm telling you, women out here doing it. So when I say you don't, huh?
How prevalent?
Go on TikTok. They got a whole section.
Oh.
Just hashtag it.
Oh, What's the hashtag?
Just hashtag it. I promise you, no lies.
But what's the hashtag I need to type in?
You can put hashtag witch talk.
Witch talk? Is black people on that? Witch talk?
I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I would not make this up, but I'm telling you, go on there. Just go on there. It's going
to
trip you out.
So you telling me that there's women that know spells to use on men and they put it on TikTok and other women can see it? Oh man, what the fuck?
So where did they learn this from? Where's this
they
taught?
Do whole lives. It's on the internet now. You know, back in the day they used to be
passed. Where is it taught? And what day do you sit down with your mama and she say, "Hey, you gotta fix some period spaghetti"? You know what I mean? Like where is that? Is it just the internet that's taught?
No.
Well, no. I would say some things were passed down. Now you like some things are just passed down. You don't want to believe that, but voodoo and Santeria and all those things, those are actual practices that happen. Yeah. And so, I mean, my mom's from Belize, right? Like, so technically I was raised by third world country people. And I think third world countries have more reality of what witchcraft is than America does.
Yeah, we have Hollywood to glamorize it and
right. Craft. No, it'd be going down, you know, in these third world countries. And so when we sometimes foreigners be looking like they don't know that's not right. You know what I'm saying? Like how y'all don't know that's not right. Yeah. You don't do that.
Man.
You don't do that. But
so do you think that's also part of our culture that is not spoke about that affects us, like
the black man? Oh yeah, man. Most definitely. Actually, it's a big part because the war is spiritual.
So how I already used the word prevalent. How deep do you think it goes when it comes to our women using the spiritual warfare against us to get us or our exes to mess up our happiness or our
very,
you know what I'm
deep. I mean, it's deep. Like,
I don't know the wording to put it, but the fact that there is a, like you said, it's a spiritual warfare. I didn't think about it like that. I was just, you know, I'm just watch out. But yeah, that's what it is.
It is.
But it's coming from our own woman to our own men in hopes to make a relationship or to keep one or to get back for one.
Or to convince somebody to love them. You know what I'm saying? Like my whole thing is if the person don't love you, you know what I'm saying? Why you got to go through that extreme? Like if he don't want to be with you, why do you have to do that to his food? Or why do you have to create an altar and pray to that so that he can love you and with his picture and stuff like that? It's crazy. But it happens. Now, if you live in Florida, you will see it because Haitian, I mean, just listen. we be real. I mean, like, that's what people do. We got to stop acting like we don't know that voodoo is for real.
It actually has effects.
Yeah, that's why God said don't do it. It's manipulation. You are taking somebody's free will.
You don't think nobody ever uses it on
them? They too many white girls.
Ain't no voodoo in the white girls. Oh, they do it? What are you talking about?
They ain't got a voodoo.
They got a sister circle. What? Wait, you think I'm playing?
Are we talking about a covenant here, or are we talking about a voodoo circle? We talking about
We're talking
voodoo.
About, because white women do it too. Don't exclude yourself from that. Okay. No, don't exclude no woman, no color. Ever.
This is just a woman thing, huh? There's a witch talk. Hell.
when you get on there and you see the different races, it's going to trip you out.
So let's change gears for just a second.
That's crazy.
So what do you feel like are the best examples of black love for women of color? What do you think our energy should be paying attention for black love as an example?
Modern day.
For black love. Okay, so I'll listen to a few people, right? But they're men, and they're married. So I listen to, like, Eric Thomas. I don't know if you know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listen to Tony Gaskins, and he's married. And that's it. I only listen to those two black men.
Why?
Because they keep it real. Okay. They keep it real, and they're married successfully with no scandals. And when they messed up in their marriages, they told what happened, the why, and what they did, and how they got back home. So I'm going to always respect that. You know what I mean? I've been watching them for years, and nothing has come up.
So what do you say to the people who are watching, whose first thought, whose first answer to that was Obama and Michelle?
You know, Obama, you want me to, I don't know if this is going to flag this. But we know what was said about Obama initially. You know what I'm saying? That he had a secret life that didn't involve his wife.
What are you saying? What do you secret life, like promiscuity, like some MLK type stuff, or what are you saying?
No, like not straight.
I have heard that.
Have you?
I did.
I have not.
I did hear that.
But I haven't been looking for it either. Like, yeah. The presidency is over with. I got to leave that shit in the past.
But that's why. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I can't look at that.
Most people say Obama, Michelle. But if you know that a guy testified once and
yeah. one of the guys died. Remember?
No,
the
he
one
died
that was going to the church? He died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know you knew that. But
come on now.
He's not here anymore.
And he went to a church. It was actually that church. It was choir, man. Boy. No lie.
The one in Chicago?
Yep. Oh. Said it all on the stand. It was a different life. Yeah. But, all right. That was just a quick question. I didn't know it was going to.
I didn't know it was going to go that way.
You didn't know I knew that, though, huh?
I did not know what I'm here for.
So who do you think is the biggest misdirection for women of color that has a voice that we listen to? Who's the biggest?
Oh my gosh! You know, Red Table Talk. She gotta go.
Red Table Talk.
What are your thoughts on her part in the marriage and what we've seen and the just the example they've given, from the entanglement to the slap to the Red Table Talk moments to all of that, like
to not backing him after he made such a statement. My biggest statement is, women, find you a Will Smith. Men, do not find you a Jada.
No, I think Jada was real with Will in the beginning. I don't think Will listened to her. She said, "I am not a wife." She said that. She said, "I don't want anything to do with marriage." And so he got per se, because she said it. And she even said it on her Red Table Talk that she cried going down the aisle because she didn't necessarily want to be married. She knew she didn't have the mindset of a wife. She knew that.
Mm. She knew that going down the aisle.
She knew that.
Oh, that's the definition of toxic.
Yeah.
You're going into the, you're the bad ingredient.
She told him that. And so you have to wonder why Will proceeded. Because it's not like he didn't know, you guys.
So why do you think he just walked so deep into this this already knowing for 20 years, having kids, all of this, like...
I feel like she was his honey trap.
How so?
Because he was married before her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that woman really did love him.
Yes. And, now, and she's still around.
She's still around.
He's not with her at all. Like, he left her and promptly got with Jada. Like,
But you know, that goes into the thing that we just switched from. You know, Jada's into all of that stuff.
The honey trap.
The honey trap.
Dang.
And now, look, his career is being ruined. You know what I'm saying? It may take time for the honey trap to work, but he thinks he's in love, but he's not. That's not love.
Katrina said, I've been a pagan for over 20 years, and I can assure you there are both women and men that do this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. For real.
They said, how often?
How often and what things? Like, be specific. Do this kind of thing. What things are done in this realm? I need to know. Because I'm looking out for...
I'm going to send you some videos that are going to trip you out, friend. Like, watch. Right. You're going to be like, what? Man. For real.
So as men, what do we have to do to protect ourselves from this? We have plenty of problems. We need more solutions.
That's why I'm saying, so your solution is get in your word, because all of your solution is there. Your spiritual eyes need to be open. Your relationship with God needs to be open. Your discernment needs to be on point. And I feel like y'all don't have discernment. You have walls up, but you don't have discernment, especially when it comes to women. If Eve was created for Adam and Eve was deceived and deceived her husband, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got to get your relationship with the Most High together. Because what would happen is he should have said, hey, Eve, I'm not eating that. Because you see that things didn't change until he ate it, right? Until he dipped into it. Because he's the leader. So your discernment has to be on 10. Because it's you.
Oof. Big facts. That makes sense. That made a lot.
So that's your solution. Because you got to know your creator to know how to fight and win this war.
So what if it's already been done to us? Like, what if there's some guys watching and they're like, you know what? I think that chick Sabrina might have hit me with a. She took some of my old draws and a picture of me and put them.
You know what releases you? You know it was so crazy. What would release a man from that?
What?
You go back to that woman. You say, you know what? I know that you probably moved on and I've moved on, but I just want to make sure you know that I apologize for the way I treated you. Because once she keeps that offense after that, then all of the consequences of everything she did goes to her.
After you apologize.
After you apologize. You release yourself from that tie.
Ah, that's how you release a soul tie? Wow.
Yeah.
Did not. All right.
That works for our scripture writing.
Yeah.
Because if you see, every time a prophet got to a certain point, he would have to go back to where he started. He had to go back to his hometown. Joseph had to go back and save his family. Even the same people that hurt him, right? Mm-hmm. Moses had to go back and free the slaves, right?
Yeah.
But he had to get delivered first. He was out of there for 40 years. He came back at 80 years old to deliver his people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he had to go to the very person he killed. He killed somebody and then had to go to the very person and run the risk of going to jail for that and basically apologize.
Wow.
Huh.
So you had to think about it. You had to go back sometimes and be like, hey, look.
And correct it.
And correct it. And once you make that correction, you know what I'm saying? It releases you. And it allows him to have vengeance if they continue.
Because you done your part.
You done your part.
Shit. I mean,
it's that simple.
That was not the right word.
You know, we let pride get in the way. We be like, well, she knew what it was. And whoop-de-whoop. No, even if she knew, just do it. And roll on.
You gotta be in good standing. And that goes back to, if we all just take it upon ourselves to be in good standing and be right and do the right thing, so, then we don't need a meeting. We'll all just be on a higher level.
So,
right.
With the way this is supposed to work,
whoa!
If I get served that plate of spaghetti, and I'm right within myself, within the word, it's going to protect me from the effects of that spaghetti, or
yes, because the power. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Because the Holy Spirit within you is greater than any power in this world. But if you don't got that, you don't got nothing. You are open. Wide open.
Wide open. It's perfect. Wow. So
y'all got me preaching on here and stuff. Believers. I wasn't coming on here to preach, but like
because I am curious if you, because you're completely 100% right. That was all truth, big facts. Looking at how the world is and looking at what the actual culture is, and then what do you feel is the next step, positive and negative? What do you think
on the agenda?
Yeah, on the agenda.
What's the next move on the agenda targeted towards women?
Mm-hmm. Targeted to women. Yeah. Oh, so right now, you know, on the agenda is restoring the man to his rightful place. I mean, I'm not the only one pushing that. There are several people, you know, since I think 2020 that has been on it, like on it, wow. You know, because it says he will restore the fathers back to their rightful place, especially in this last time. Right. Because I remember you talking about biblical prophecy. That's a part of prophecy right now. Right.
Yeah.
And then it does show that people's hearts are going to wax cold. So at the end of the day, you have to be responsible for your home and just be and know that not everybody is going to be what you think they're going to be. And they will turn you in and they'll turn their back on you. And so that the positive is restoring men back to for their rightful place. Mm-hmm. Right. The negative is knowing that people are going to be turned over to a reprobate mind.
What's reprobate mind?
For the meaning over to their sins and lust and selfishness.
Selfishness.
So how can they identify these then? What are the indicators for this type of behavior?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's selfishness, right? So it's whatever, what is it called? What's that? YOLO? Yeah. You only live once, right?
Yeah.
There's no living without consequences and not looking at how it affects everybody. Like in your family, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to just do what I feel like doing and the consequences don't affect nobody else, but really it does. It mm-hmm. affects your mom. It affects your cousin and whoever stays up taking care of your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it affects people, right? Mm-hmm. It affects your kids, first of all, because yep. your kids might end up in, you know, foster care or something like that. I'm just giving an example, but right. we don't YOLO, I think, was like to the demise of our youth because you do only live once. And so you should make better choices so that your consequences don't ruin your life, right?
Right.
True.
So don't. Okay, you got your yellow. What I've noticed in the culture is mm-hmm. now, you know, they used to come up with all these sayings and stuff when we were coming up. They were pretty, you know, beneficial. But now we've used that same tactic to
creativeness.
Yeah, to justify these selfish behaviors and movements mm-hmm. now. Everything. Nothing is about building structure. It's all about getting right. a quick bag and, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, destroying the foundation of, you know.
Of the family.
Yep, of the mm-hmm. family. So now, you know, they use these things to come up with, you know, little quick quirks that we don't realize that are really just bad information. Misinformation.
Right.
A lot of misses.
And so that's where you guys come in. That's where the men come in and shut it down. Because what you fail to realize is women, we listen to y'all, whether we want to or not. Okay. But if you come in and be like, hey, just shut it down. Because a lot of times these trends are keep trending because we're sharing it. Right. Or keep trending because we don't shut the youth down and be like, hey, stop sharing that. That's not right. It is the being a village again, you know, where we're like, hey, you know, we don't do that no more to people's kids. I mean, we don't do it.
It's been such a movement and a new, you know what I'm saying, just upheld belief that women have their right to watch and partake in what they want. So, like, even in a relationship, a married man, you know what I mean, has to allow his wife to have the new level of freedom that, you know what I mean? He just has to be cool with it. You know, like there's a new dichotomy with relationships that a guy, I don't know if it's if men are more weak or if we just have relaxed in our roles, but
it's neither. It's a power that has been released. Everyone's got a voice now, which is good and bad. It's a catch-22.
There you go.
But it's one of those things that, you know, if you address a situation this way, I'm going to feed you to the masses, and mm-hmm. you're going to have to fight more. That's not our fight. Now you're fighting a whole situation and a whole cloud that has been put over your head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to have to, not only, even if you break up with that person right there and you never talk to them again, if that message is displayed a certain way, you might have to battle that the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right, if not longer, right. Because people will pick it up and they'll regurgitate it once you think everything is calm.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Don't fuck with him. You know, he do this or that. Or he, your man right. might not have never did any of that. And that's the new weapon. You know, it's like the Me Too movement. Okay, so
I was gonna bring them up.
So my thing is, like, you got to think about this, and I talked about this before a little bit. So, like, so much money is being made on privatized prisons.
True.
Come on, then, we're pushing to ban privatized prisons nationwide. So then you've also got Biden and Kamala that are coming in office at the time that mm-hmm. have made their whole career and fortunes off of privatized prisons and writing bills to lock niggas up. Just yes. keeping it
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you know, Cuomo and his family are all hit with the Me Too movement.
All of them.
It's a torpedo mm-hmm. that doesn't have a defense. No. Even if it doesn't blow up and kill you, the splash damage is forever done.
Yeah.
Cosby's out of prison.
Yeah. Yeah. He's about to go on tour.
Yes. Cosby's out of prison. A lot of people don't even know that.
Mm.
You know?
And a lot of people that found out about it were enraged.
Yes.
Just enraged.
Come to find out, he shouldn't have been in prison at all.
Yes. At all.
And not even for if he did or didn't do anything, is because he was already locked in a case.
Right. Where
they had already gave him, was it amnesty?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever, you know, they could bring at him.
He
so
was, he was
and I think he was past the statute of limitations. Right.
Yeah, he was literally locked up from public opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, on top of
I've
that.
I've never seen another case like that.
They knew that. They still put him there, mm-hmm. and he yeah. sat there.
Yes.
Old-ass Cosby.
Had to satisfy the public and because of magazines and all yes. of this. They still locked him up.
That bullet is armor-piercing. And right. all you can do is take that bullet and pray they can put you back together afterwards.
Right. And that's why, you know, that's why sometimes when I see people's, like, already commenting on certain situations, I'm like, you need to wait.
Yeah.
Because all the information is not out there, and you're already convicting that individual. But I think that this what is so interesting about the system is that a lot of times people's cases are decided before they even step into court.
A lot of times we see the we hear so much about what the consequence is going to be, like for example the Young Thug thing going on right now. We're hearing so much about the consequences if found guilty, to where they're pretty much already guilty, to where once it comes to the case itself, it doesn't have to be an airtight case and doesn't have to make sense,
right.
because we're already, the media and the timeline has already put us in the mindset that they're guilty. So
right,
now
like,
whatever gets to the guilty verdict is like, mm-hmm. well, I mean, they must have done it the right, correct way. Why do we just now know that Cosby shouldn't have been in there and he already had amnesty?
Because we
already had the media telling us the rest of it.
Right.
And he had amnesty before that even started. So
right.
we have to wait because now when he gets locked up, to all of us, it looks like, well, we saw that coming. And just
right.
Makes
so
sense.
Let me ask a question. Has any of y'all ever had a court case before? Have you ever had a court case, like been in court about anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So do you know that majority of the lawyers and attorneys, DAs, and all that are friends?
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah, it's a fraternal order.
Okay, so you also know that when you step into the courtroom, there was probably already a discussion in chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna
right. So that's what I mean when I say that the case is already decided before we even know that the case exists.
Ah, I feel you.
So,
big fan.
My father always said the only way to really beat the case is to beat the handcuffs, you know? So, don't get caught at all, because once you go into the court, you're not going to beat the case. You're going to be tied up in the system forever, even if you're not guilty.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to add defense to that. I went to court one time over a financial issue, Mm-hmm. And Jamie, what happens when the other party doesn't show up?
It's supposed to be dismissed.
So this party did not show up, and I'm standing there. That judge gonna look at me and be like, "Well, I mean, do you plead guilty or not?" And I was like, "They're not even here. We're not even supposed to
be talking right
like,
now.
Like, what do you like?
I should be back in my car."
And he spoke on their behalf. He was like, "I'm gonna go ahead and want to plead this guilty," and da da da. And I was like,
"That's
whoa,
not right. That wasn't whoa. Right. If they don't
so,
show up."
Let me add another player to your list of players: financial institutions, as far as the payday loans.
Oh yeah,
the credit loan places and stuff. Mm-hmm. So besides the DA, besides all them, they come to court and they bring, you know, they'll bring a docket with 150 people on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will.
And it'll have, let's even if they're guilty, not guilty, whatever happens, that's still about $70 a head for court costs.
Yeah.
So
144.
Okay. So think about all that money that goes into their system.
On just a Tuesday.
Yes, on just a payday, just one payday loan place.
Yes.
You know, like all of this stuff. Man. Yes.
Trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
And
you have to be smart. It's like playing Monopoly, but different. Like, or the game of life. Let's just do that. We'll do the game of life. We're just not playing it right.
Right.
See, I wonder, because I like how you said the Monopoly, and it just made me think, because when you like establish man and get our relationships back in order and all of that, but also a woman's mind is to enhance. What if we had couples Monopoly nights, to where you play Monopoly with one person, but just as a couple.
As a team?
Yeah, as a team, you could just figure this out together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what, though? That might be a good idea for mm-hmm. a board game. Maybe not play Monopoly, but create your own game that's made yeah. for couples as teams.
Yeah. Like, to just work on that. Cause
on the teamwork part, right?
Yeah. Like the act. We play Monopoly and everybody can just work together. I feel like we'll understand.
We'll call Black idea. Life and come up with some real fucking issues. You know what I mean?
Black life.
Baby mama takes you to court. You and your spouse have to pay, you know what I mean, $3,000 back child support. You're a deadbeat dad. You know what I mean? Just some shit that just, how are y'all going to deal
you
with this?
You only shit. Got 2,000 shit. You need 1,000 from her, babe.
Right, how are we going to deal with that, babe? Are you staying? Like, what are we doing?
So, like, what would be another issue? What would be another scenario for Black life for couples?
Oh, my goodness. Y'all went on vacation and wild out.
Yeah.
You got to get $500 to the bank or some shit.
Right.
You bought too many drinks on vacation.
That's
you ain't got a BBL.
Right.
You ain't got a BBL.
Oh, yeah.
You and baby mama got to split the car to get to work.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Your spouse loses a turn until you can pay, you know, $25.
That's not a bad idea. Like, that's really not a bad idea.
They don't even get a turn.
I made the $2,500. Now you can keep playing. You know what I mean? I got you. Now you can play again. We're going to lose to Darquan.
So, y'all are crazy.
Maybe we should call it House in Order.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be dope.
That she said the order of operations.
Yeah,
the order of operations.
Triple up.
So, wow.
But I think we should have something like that, man. Like we need something that's fun, and the way that you said, like, celebrate. I think that goes into relationships also. Like our relationship goals, not just the people that we look at for Black love, but what how we celebrate Black love and what we're supposed to do and stuff. Right. Well, that like the right thing needs to be more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if I see a post and it's like, oh, we just bought our first house. Of course you share it.
Yeah.
But what we see more than often is, are we just taking flights and we blowing money and we, you know what I'm saying, we doing all that.
Yeah, I think that we should see like more transparency. Like, because it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. To be interdependent, right? Interdependent. There's a difference between,
yes.
you know, word. Like being together and being all up in each other's face. We're just really being interdependent on each other. You know what I'm saying? Like where you're still independent as a person, but you're interdependenting. You're linking up. You get what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Right.
And mm-hmm. so it's a struggle. it's a struggle because there you have power struggles, right? You have like, I don't want to give that up. I want to keep that.
Right.
Right. But what does that do for the team?
Right. Right.
You get what I'm saying? So we got to be more transparent.
Right.
What does that do for the team? There's not, we don't have a real team mindset.
Right. Right.
That's
pushed. Culture wise, you know, when we're talking about side niggas, side chicks. You guys have to understand your team is not your old man and your four side chicks or your four side niggas. Like, that's
come on, yeah. Like, for real.
At that point, you're just, you know, freelance playing on team to team till somebody signs you. Mm-hmm. That's not a team. That's a survival tactic and a toxic survival tactic.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people moving on just survival tactics right now.
Though, right.
Especially with the inflation. But I think once the pandemic hit, that gave everybody the excuse to not have to explain themselves. Even
Exactly. You know
what I mean? Accountability.
No accountability. It was just like, I can do whatever. I can wild the fuck out.
Let's talk about five toxic survival tactics that we need to stop today. And we'll go around the room. Everybody add one in there.
Okay, all right, y'all start,
because I'll start. Okay. Tinder is not your food stamps. You do not get on the social media dating sites for a meal. Stop that. You want guys to stop taking and courting women? Keep that shit up. You got to understand, dating for a man is totally different than dating for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
We pay, most of the time, there's always an exception to every story. Most of the time, the man pays for everything. If we go on three dates that week, you know what I mean? We talking about $150,
$200
a pop, three nights that week. So when you bump into this nigga and he broke on, you know, Saturday,
what do you want?
So I think, Tinder is not DoorDash. You know, I have plenty of women tell me they eat out three and four nights a week thanks to Tinder.
Right. Oh, I got one.
Go ahead.
OnlyFans is not the come up.
Ooh. OnlyFans is not the come up. OnlyFans is not the come up. Look, there's somebody sitting there like, even as a couple?
So, if OnlyFans isn't the come up.
We're a team.
If it isn't the come up, what is it?
What is?
What is it? What is OnlyFans?
I mean, it shouldn't be the come up, but I mean, it is right now. Everybody's using OnlyFans, but it's not the come up because technically, you know what I'm saying? It's another vice. Right. Men are paying subscriptions. I seen one lady fart and like she's farting. Did you see it? Like they did a
fart in the jar.
She sells her. Yeah, on the OnlyFans. Like, why are people paying for that? For gas. Y'all. Yeah. What?
Can you imagine being that guy and your fart finally comes in Amazon, you know, you're like, oh shit, you know what I mean? You got your jar there. What do you do next? Do I put it to my face and sniff it? Am I gonna waff it? Like, what do you do next with your can of fart that you just spent $40 on?
And that's how much she's selling it for. Like, they're not cheap, if I'm not mistaken. You gotta look the article up because they tripped me out.
He gets on OnlyFans first, goes to her page, he goes to his favorite video of her. He warms up his lotion on this day. So
he warms up the lotion.
Put the lotion in the microwave first. and then as he's like about to like jacking off to his favorite like video on OnlyFans, he just slowly reaches over and
cracks it open.
And just lets it just seep out into the nose type
thing. Y'all are so... Yeah.
Wow, the musk.
The musk. It just hits, and that's like, yeah. If you spend $40 for a jar of gas,
yeah.
He set the scene on that one.
Wow.
He set the scene on that one. Yeah.
Oh, I can't even. I can't imagine. Like, I can't imagine spending it. But like, go ahead, Brandon. I can't imagine what happens next. You know, like I can't imagine being that guy.
Your face is priceless right now.
It disturbs me. People buy used panties and stuff. I'm not trying to kink shame, But, like, I just can't imagine. Like, they just come in the mail and you're just like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, what happens next? Where do you put this when you have an actual woman in your house? You know, like, you got this random pair of drawers. And then even if she's there and she's staying, you know, she finds the drawers. She's like, you want me to wash these? And you're like, no, hey, do not wash it. You know, like, what? Where do we go from there? You know, like, I don't know. I'm lost.
Your face.
So,
that's how far gone we are, though.
So, we got OnlyFans. We got Tinder's Dating. I mean, it's not your food stamps. Brandon, it's your turn.
I feel like your happiness should not be based on how many people are doing things for you.
Yeah. Mm.
Like your happiness should not just be based on if you got your dude taking care of everything for you, or if you got a guy, if you got a girl, if you got a sugar mama, or it shouldn't be based on if you get 5 people to send you that good morning text. It shouldn't be based on how many likes you got on this picture of you on the beach, like, because
Jones affecting and stuff.
I believe people that fiend for attention are turning the hoes.
Yeah,
and, that's true.
And you can use that to your benefit, but it's still to your detriment because of soul ties and stuff that you talked about before. And then
mm-hmm. Addiction, though. It's like an addiction thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But like if you know that though, if you're like, all right, somebody likes attention, you know that you can probably smash them if you
right, give them enough attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're my favorite person.
All right, you can probably smash. Mm-hmm. But that attention that you need. Giving you that dopamine rush, and that's your happiness.
Right.
Is, I think, the most toxic thing, because now you're basing who you are based on other people, not even liking or disliking you, but just giving you attention.
Right. And, the value, you know what I'm saying? Your value is based on that.
On just the attention alone, whether it's good or bad now.
So like, how will we sum all that up? Will we
put make yourself happy, nigga.
Find happiness internally.
Yes.
Okay. Just saying. Yes. Just how.
Or even if it's an external thing, if it's just you, don't base your happiness on people outside of you.
Right. Right.
Just you. Your happy is a you thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be based on other. Like, you can be happy because you help other people, but that's you're helping other people.
Right.
Like, you can't be based off of other people's actions towards you.
Right.
Right. It's just, okay.
It can't work like that. Like, okay. You can get a benefit and it can make you feel good. Right. Somebody doing something for you, somebody coming by with a baked pie for you. Right. Of course, you're going to feel good. But it can't be based off if this is going to be a happy day for me.
Right.
If this nigga brought me a cheesecake, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I get what you're saying. So, that makes sense.
Right. And a lot of people subconsciously live off that.
Right.
In that realm of thinking that they need a certain number in their notifications. They need
to feel sufficient.
Yes, they need their phone to go off a certain amount of times.
Right.
They like that type of shit.
And if they don't, you can watch them pace a room, and then start putting. Picture they'll start just pacing the room like this with their phone, and like they're reaching,
they're waiting on it. They need that. They need the I see you. A lot of people need to be seen, and not just on no media and everybody wants to brand themselves type thing. A lot of people don't feel seen.
Right.
A lot of people feel like because of internet we're just all in the mix now. Right, and everybody wants to be heard and wants to stand out.
Everybody wants to be a star.
Yep. Not even a star, bro. People just don't know how to feel their own self-importance. You know what I mean? Like people are really seeking a validation in just their normal life because they feel like they're just in the mix because there's so many people all the time. You get on World Star and there's so many things always going on. Right. They feel like they're in the mix, so they feel like they like getting those views or those numbers or that acknowledgement at all is better than just being in the mix.
Being actually successful.
Well, not even they're not even thinking about that.
Having success. It's weird. It's small.
Their success right now is being acknowledged at all. That's what clout is. That's why this word
is a word.
Because clout is really nothingness.
Right.
It's just being acknowledged. That's it. He got some clout. That means people know him.
So that's three.
I get what you're saying.
That's three. So let's go over number four. Entertainment is not education.
Wait a minute.
You got to be able to differentiate the two.
I mean, what if we mix the two together? We call it edutainment.
I mean,
edutainment.
When that pops up on Pornhub, I'll call you, but I ain't seen it yet. You know what I mean? So, seriously though, like, so many people confuse, and don't get me wrong, all right, they can be both. Things can be entertaining and educational, things can be educational and entertaining, but there's so many people that are using entertainment outlets as their information, and it's not real, it's just entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's mm-hmm. just, we gotta be able to differentiate the two.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to identify the right. two of these things. Like, okay, you know, yeah, this is funny, and this is, you know, this is on some ratchet mess, but this is not how I'm going to educate myself to act.
Right.
This is just to entertain me and put that mindset in play, you know?
Yeah.
So, differentiate between entertainment and education. That's mine.
Got you. Something that I've seen a lot of, so I don't know if you've seen it popping up a lot, but like the talk about narcissists and all of these memes in regards to narcissism. I'm just going to say not everybody is a narcissist. Now, we all have narcissistic traits. Like, we all do things that narcissistic people do. I just think that it's becoming a little bit more extreme as far as like the push and the discussion about it. Not saying that there shouldn't be. But it's becoming toxic because anytime somebody does something that somebody doesn't like or says something, you know, close to a narcissistic statement, then they're being narcissist. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't, sometimes you just saying what's on your mind for real. It might just be a selfish statement.
Right.
Just,
so,
right. Stop diagnosing yourself via memes. Don't diagnose yourself via memes.
Don't live via memes. I lose respect for people.
Yeah.
I truly lose respect for people if I realize that you are living any part of your life off of a meme.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing in me. I'm so serious. Like,
this is what you turn. You're like, if you don't stop.
Entertainment versus education.
Like, if the meme was the thing that made the fucking light bulb go off over your head, you were lost. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, the meme shouldn't have been the.
Right.
That should not have been the moment. The meme should not have.
Everybody's mental health journey. Right. Everybody's mental health journey ain't yours either. Because.
On Wednesday at 7:04.
Right.
I think that's where
I said everybody's mental health journey is not yours. You know what I'm saying? I think that we're adopting people's mental health journeys.
Right. No. And then another thing too, like, leave the diagnosing to the people who are qualified to diagnose.
Yes.
Right.
You know, not all of us. Yes. So many people are like, oh, he's got bipolar. I'm really trying to help him with that. You are not trying to help him with shit. Go. You want to help him? Take his ass to somebody who's qualified to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do not be up there trying to be Dr. Phil Google.
But people will use that to distract themselves from dealing with their damn selves.
Oh, I know.
People
Right.
Because they got to deal with this person. I got to fix him and I got to do that to her.
And they got their own issues. You know what I'm saying? So, uh-huh. Yes.
So let's just chalk that up to. Letting people who are qualified diagnose you.
Right.
You know, don't stop diagnosing issues that we don't know. People people diagnosing people as narcissists and they can't even spell narcissists. Your ass is not qualified to diagnose them.
Yeah, for real.
You know?
But I think the biggest thing that Jamie pointed out that people need to realize is we all have it. We all have different traits that can fall into narcissists.
Right.
So if you're pointed out in somebody else, you need to also recognize it in yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I posted something about their like favorite narcissistic sayings. You know what I'm saying? I had like two of them in there. I was like, dang, I be saying that. I be saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, especially when I don't feel like talking about it or, you know, are you coming for me a little bit? But I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like they're just that deflecting over there. Like, Right, but how many of us do that?
Narcissism.
Yeah, it's a narcissistic statement. I was like, I felt attacked. because I use that all the time.
I don't see it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's one.
I promise you, I swear, it's in this long list of statements. And I was like, well, you might as well put every statement on there because...
Man,
I felt some type of way. I felt attacked.
I don't know about that. So I have to be knowledgeable when everything is brought up to me?
No. When you use that statement to deflect talking about something that you know already about. Like, if you go and you smash the peanut butter jar, and I come around the corner and I'm like,
oh, yeah. Damn.
You do that, though, right? Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
My son does that. That's not narcissistic. That's not narcissistic. That's a defense. What are you talking about? Mechanism. What the fuck you mean? What the fuck do you mean? That's not narcissism. That's smart.
That's smart.
Work for this. What are you talking about?
Oh my god.
Yeah. So we got one more. One more slide. It's yours. We're gonna do six instead of five, so everybody gets two.
Okay.
So it's yours.
All right. Last one.
Don't fumble it.
Don't fumble.
Don't fumble. Put the pressure.
Okay.
Home run here. Top of the ninth.
Stop finding ways to waste each other's money.
Go ahead.
All right. Stop finding ways to waste each other's money. Like, guys, stop finding things that, like, beauty standards for these women to waste their money going to do when they could be getting land and businesses and all that shit. And women, stop finding things that you think look fun, but they're really just, you're going to a whole nother city to do the same thing of standing around and smoke hookah. Like, stop. If you're going to do something, really have fun and really make it an experience, right, and a memory, then okay, that's what we're here for. It's justifiable. But if you're just going to waste the money so you can have this fabricated...
status.
Yeah. Like, you're chasing the Jones. Stop wasting each other's money, because in this day and time with inflation and everything going on and the whole World War III happening, we need to start really getting that teamwork mindset, but
and preparing.
Yes, thank you.
So to shorten that all, and better way of saying it is invest in fruitful endeavors.
Yes.
And I think the most fruitful endeavor that you can invest in right now is yourself or each other. If you're in a relationship, y'all need to find a way to invest in each other so you can build internally. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's not anything being wasted. That means there's no time, energy, or money that'll be wasted in that.
Right.
That's a solid investment. And investing in each other. Spend your money internally in what y'all got going on.
Right.
Stop finding things to waste your money on.
Okay.
Like shoes. I like shoes.
But you can get you, if some Chucks, if you want some Chucks, they $40. You can get you some Chucks.
They protect your
feet.
But
if you're trying to get the red bottoms, that might not be the time for red bottoms. I said it.
The miles you're going to put on them red bottoms because you can't afford gas, they ain't even going to be red by the time you make it.
Right, what you say?
Scuffed up brown bottoms.
Oh my god.
They look like knockoffs by the time you get there.
It was
red. It was red. I promise it was red. Take them creased up ass.
Right. So we're almost at that time. So let's change gears to give you a minute so you can tell everybody about your Juneteenth celebration and Shattered Chains, correct?
Yes, it is Shattered Chains.
Shattered Chains. Tullahoma, Tennessee, correct?
Yes. Yep, all Tullahoma, right. Tennessee on June 18th from 12 to 5. And so, you know, we're having community resources and all this stuff. But I guess my favorite part, you know, that I'll be trying to get Royce to hurry up and get to is the emphasis on men and their leadership and their importance. So we have four guest speakers that are going to be talking. All men, of course. We're going to be giving away dad bags, you know what I'm saying, which I'm excited about. I just want to celebrate fathers and celebrate men becoming fathers or becoming leaders in their community or in their household because they're important. And so restoring men back to God and letting them know that the only way to shatter those chains is through God. You can't do it yourself. It's hard. Can't do it yourself. We'll pick it back up. Be like, it's so much easier to keep it. You know what I'm saying? But we want you to get rid of it.
All right. So y'all make sure y'all go to the Tullahoma, Juneteenth. Check it out on the 18th. It's the second annual, right?
Well, see, this is my second Juneteenth that we've done.
Yes.
But this is our first in Tullahoma, so it'll be the first annual. Because right. We're going to be first staying annual. In
Tullahoma. All right, so this is the inaugural, so y'all go celebrate this inaugural. That you share in this momentous occasion.
Yeah, this is great.
This is going to be very, very good. Real quick. Have you noticed a shift in the culture when it comes to spirituality also? Like the way that you've been talking, I've noticed that more in just people. Like just normal people that might not go to church or whatever. Have you noticed that also?
They're coming back to the church?
Not even coming back to the church, just being more God-minded. Right, spiritual. And, yeah, more spiritual things. Like,
So they're spiritual. I think on the show last week, you were like, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
And you had to be specific, okay?
Yes. Yes.
But I do see more people going back in that direction. You know, I think that there's some people that have went into New Age or that New Age spirituality situation, and God is like calling them out of that and back into his right focus. So, yes, I do see that a lot. I see it a lot, and they're not in the church building.
Right, right.
You know, and, but see, you are the church building.
True. I like how deep you are. That's very true. You're right. So it's happening in us, because that's what
right. And he said that I would pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's up to us to hear the call and us to do it.
Big
facts. To accept that.
Big facts. Okay. All right. That was very nice. That was a good ass answer. But we thank you so much for coming on the Mothership again and joining us on the Who That podcast. It's been a very informational, very, very good conversation, which I hope you can come back again. And,
oh, yeah, most definitely.
Because I think this was really impactful. I hope that the viewers took one or two good gems with them. This is really nice. Anything you want to say?
Well, I just want to say, if you could leave your fellow females and you know, your women of color, just people of color, even if you want to do that, more so females, if you could leave them with any advice to help them with their cultural battles and whatever's going on, what would you leave them with?
I would say, I know that everybody thinks that you're spiritual. And I think, you know, we're trying to be on this new awakening path of being a diva or being a goddess, okay? But I want to say to leave Jezebel behind, leave Delilah behind, leave those entities behind, because that's who you're adopting. You're not a goddess. There is God. He's a true and living God. There is your man, which he is the leader. And you need to be back into your rightful place because you are out of order.
Oh. Hit the horn, see?
He pushing everything over. He done pushed three buttons.
Hey, hit them all, right?
Yo. Wow. I concur. That was very well said. Very, very well said. I am looking forward to comments and anybody that, you know, your thoughts. Opinions. Please feel free to. He's still pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, we would love to see in the comments thoughts and we will be reading them like always. So everybody, feel free, you know, to jump in the comments, like, subscribe, share, all those good things that everybody says at this point in their videos. Stay tuned to everything. Who That? We got a lot coming. As you can obviously see, we stay busy, so sure you stay tuned to everything. Make sure you're on the YouTube, the Instagram, the Facebook,
all of that.
Stay blessed, don't stress, life is just a test.
Who that?
Ooh, who that?
You're now rocking with DJ.
It's gotta be my imagination.
DJ Skinny,
they not for real.
Let's go.